Supergirl Gab, the podcast where we watch the CW Supergirl and then we talk about it. We are your hosts. I'm Katie.
And I'm Chris.
And this week we watched Season 3, Episode 9, Rain.
Which was certainly an episode.
It was an episode.
Also, it's funny, like, so whenever we record these, we usually have, like, a little bit of conversating before we get started on the show itself, and usually it's about the episode, but this time, we have not, I don't think we've said a word about the episode itself.
No, it was mostly us talking about other random things.
Right.
But, yeah, well, here's the thing, so it's been a couple weeks since this episode aired, just because, As we mentioned on the last bit of episodes, Chris wasn't feeling well for a good portion of this month.
Brutal.
Yeah, and then we kind of just ended up pushing back our stuff. And because this episode was the last episode for the show for a while, we didn't have as much worries about needing to catch up really fast. So we kind of put this off. So this was the first time, tonight was the first time that either of us, I think, watched it, even though it came out a couple weeks ago, which meant that I kind of got spoiled on a few things just through, like, Twitter stuff.
About this episode.
I don't know how much you knew going into it about what was going to happen in it.
I knew that Rain was, I guess, that was, I mean, from the title alone, I knew that Rain was probably finally going to show up. But you know what, before we even, like, kind of get into the whole thing, just, like, what's your just immediate sort of overall take on this episode? Thumbs up, thumbs down, what do you think?
It's hard when we get off of this, like, this huge crossover that we were both fairly positive on, and then it's like, oh, now she has to go back to, like, the storyline that I'm not as, like, isn't quite as, like, energizing. And it's really probably the darkest. I would argue it's the darkest storyline that she's had, along with kind of this B plot that is also really, like, it's just kind of a downer.
Wait, which part is the C plot that you think is a downer?
Her horrible, like, non-existent love life.
Oh, okay.
That part. Was there another story?
Well, okay, wait. So.
Oh, and then there was that other thing that happened that I did.
There was the parts all throughout this episode that literally I was saying so loud at the TV, and I this is a rare thing, but to actually talk to the TV, I was literally saying out loud, gross, no.
Yeah.
And, like, to the point where April came in to the room to be like, what is going on in here? Yeah. And it just, because it just kept happening.
Yeah. I hate being right. Like, I really hate being right.
I think they're just listening to you. And so now I'm going to blame you for this.
No, this was clearly planned out well before we even, like, saw these two characters interacting this season, because it was so telegraphed of, like, oh no, this is exactly what they're doing, isn't it? So, I mean, do you want...
Well, and even though they've been telegraphing it...
So do you want to start with this part? Like, I didn't know which... I don't know which storyline you want to start with in terms of...
Well, I was just going to say the... I think... You're absolutely right. And I was glad that we kind of had some space between that huge crossover and now, because if I had just gone straight from the crossover into this, I think I would have disliked this episode even more. As it is now, I feel like I am kind of, like, half and half on this episode.
I am too.
I didn't absolutely hate it, even though there was some stuff I definitely was like, I don't care for this, or I'm like, I don't think this is the best, you know, the best way to handle some of this stuff. But there was also some stuff I liked. So, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know. It's not just it's their episode. It's like, it's got a little bit too much going on. And I guess it's good for, like, a mid-season finale in that it certainly gave us some things to think about.
There are some parts that I actually thought were handled as best as I thought that they could. And I liked their take on it, which we'll get into. There are parts that I was just like, well, they're doing this. They're doing this thing that I knew was going to happen because I know how these shows go now. And I saw the signs like,
yeah,
like Cassandra of ancient myth. I saw it coming and I was powerless.
Do you feel it. Like you identify? Do you identify with her more and more with each episode of this show?
I don't. Yeah, I guess it's so funny. Because, you know, like, we didn't even talk about this. I was like, half expecting us to talk about this before the show, but we both went to see a Star Wars in the last week.
We did. And that's another problem for me is that I'm going like, you know, what I would really like to talk about is Star Wars.
Yeah. Which, funnily enough, we find out that Jean is a huge Empires fan, which makes me think he would love The Last Jedi. Even though it's not like a shot-for-shot remake of Empire, okay? But there are just some, like, interesting things going on. Anyway, I really like that movie. Chris and I have not talked about this yet. But yeah, I know for a fact that you saw it and I saw it. And the funny thing about that was that movie surprised me all over the place. There were things that completely threw me off that I had no idea were coming. So then to watch this episode and to see things that I knew were going to happen, it was
that
like,
you had
oh,
seen
that's,
from such a great distance.
That I saw some from such a great distance. It, you know what it was like? You know that part in Monty Python where
when the guy's running up
and they're just watching him and the tense music, but the whole time they're just watching him, and then he finally stabs them and it's like, what did you think was going to happen with this guy running in front of you? That's what it feels like, because we saw it coming from just so far away. So
not to derail the conversation at all, just I do want to throw in that I absolutely loved The Last Jedi. And I cannot wait to see it again.
Maybe we'll have a whole
yeah, we could do a whole separate episode.
Has nothing to do with the show, except for the fact that Jean apparently is a big Star Wars fan, and he seemed insulted.
Of course he is. Why wouldn't he be?
Every
version of Jean in it seems like they do have him be kind of like a big pop culture person.
Yeah,
because
he likes rocking around the Christmas tree, wasn't it? Or
yeah,
was it the other one? It was. It's the Hall & Oates one, right?
Jingle Bell Rock,
which I did not realize until that moment was a Hall & Oates song. Like it never connected with me.
But so surely that's not them originally. They just must have done a cover.
Maybe.
Right? I mean, I feel like that song is too old.
I thought so too, but maybe it just. Maybe it was
maybe
just
not.
Of that
we're
time.
Not gonna, we're not gonna look it up right now.
We're not
but,
going to. But I was gonna say that was like my favorite part was like his father getting into the Christmas spirit and like really mm-hmm. interested in the season, yeah. and then mentioning that the Martians have Life Day, and Wynn being like, "You guys have Life Day," and then him trying to explain it. And then him going into, yeah. Oh my gosh, I forgot, you Martians don't know what Star Wars is. And then Jon looking insulted that he thought yeah. that he didn't know Star Wars. And then it's Wynn
like,
and him bonding.
I've been on Earth for 300 years or whatever.
How dare you think that, like, Empire is one of the great sequels of all cinema. And and you could just see Wynn, like, oh my goodness, every day I grow closer to you.
Like, I think he says, I love you more. It's like, every day I love you more, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's so good. So that was a great part of the episode.
Yes, absolutely. And if the episode had stopped right there, it would have been like, wow, that was a great episode.
So we have actually been, like, we've been kind of skimming around the part that made us cringe.
Well, hold on.
Like, we keep talking about it as like the thing that I predicted. We haven't actually said what it was.
Well, okay, so let's lay out real quick what the storylines were for this week. You've got the A plot is the stuff with Rain. How she is coming into letting herself be known after her trip that she has completely forgotten about on the episode before the crossover, where she finds out what her what her backstory is, I guess. But I'm honestly, I'm still a little shaky on exactly how all of her getting sent to Earth and all of that works exactly, and why she thinks she's, I guess it's not really important, but I'm like, maybe I should go back and rewatch or read the wiki or something. Then you've also got, Kara dealing with feeling, like not psyched about having Mon-El and, his wife, just completely up in her face all the time now. And then the third plot, I guess, would be the part with the continuation of the thing you predicted, which was Lena and Jimmy getting together.
Yeah.
Which throws in some stuff with Morgan Edge and an assassination attempt and her thinking that Morgan Edge is behind the stuff with Rain. But none of that is really... It's all sort of like in service of just a reason to have the two of them off doing something together. And I feel like that entire plot is all, we just have to give them something to do.
Yeah, this is, I've seen some people, and we talked last time about fandom and how frustrating it is the way that they treat certain kinds of characters, especially characters of color. And one of the things I saw in terms of people being negative towards that pairing is not this doesn't work very well with the characters or it's not written well, but like, how dare Jimmy try to steal it's Lena, right? It's bad that it's been so long since we've talked about her. I forget.
Yes, which but I bet Luther you know her is. Real. You know her real name, don't you?
Kate McGrath, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
But like, how dare he try to steal her away from Kara? And here's the thing: I like that pairing too. We talked extensively last season about how I was kind of rooting for them in a like. I don't think that I'm not really particularly sure the CW will do this, but I want them to sort of way. But it is also so. I want to make it clear, and I'm sure you'll back me up on this, that it's less that I don't like Jimmy like romancing her. It's more that this wasn't written well, and it also feels like there's an episode of The Simpsons where they make a joke about how Marge wants to like pair everyone up, including like trying to push the dog and cat together. Like everybody needs to be like romantically involved, including like her pets. And the cat and dog look like very like they are not having it. And that's kind of what it feels like, where it's like, oh, we don't have anything for these two to do. We will push them together.
Well, yeah, it's like there's that thing of how, yeah, where it's like we can't think of anything else for them to do other than for them to have like a romantic thing. And that kills two birds with one stone, because we don't have anything for Lena to do right now, and we don't have anything for Jimmy to do right now. Let's just have them get together, and it lets them seem like they're doing something, and there's a reason for them to be on the show. Even though the focus, there's already so much going on.
Yeah.
Where it's like, this is, again, just one of those things. I mean, and this comes up all the time when we're talking about this stuff, but the fact that they have to fill so many episodes leads to so much of this like water treading and just time wasting and just looking like the casts for these shows just keep expanding and expanding and expanding to have like more. It's like they don't have enough story ideas for the main character to fill out 24 or 22, whatever, hour long episodes. So they're like, we've only got enough stuff just with, you know, really kind of centered around Supergirl to last 8 episodes, 10 episodes, whatever. And so they go, all right, well, to pad that out, we need to have the supporting cast have stuff going on, and that'll fill out time. That'll waste time on all the episodes, even though it's like, and I'm not saying I don't want the characters to have a well-rounded and like interesting supporting cast, because you do want that stuff, but there's a difference in that. And then when you can tell it's just stuff that feels like you're just killing time. You're just doing something to give them something, you know, to have these people and give them something to do. And like, I just started watching Legion. Have you watched any of that?
Yeah.
Okay. So now that's a show that's got a lot of moving parts and has got, and I'm not finished with it yet. So, I mean, maybe it could all fall apart. But so far,
it does get real weird towards, and it's a show that's already very weird.
Yeah, which, and weirdness is fine. But it's like, from what I've seen so far, even though there's a lot of moving parts and there's like a lot of characters and a lot of people to try to keep up with, the focus sort of stays where it needs to. And it's because there's only like 8 episodes or maybe 10. I can't remember how many it is. It's either 8 or 10. But it's like, you know, they're not wasting a bunch of time. They're like focused in on what the actual point of the story is. And that's why it feels so much more than, it's like you're watching this and, you know, you're watching it and going like, wow, this really feels like a, you know, there's like a quality to that that comes across where you're like, things are really focused in on the story they're trying to tell. And it never feels like, oh, you guys are just trying to kill a couple episodes until the winter break. Or,
yeah,
you know, like, you just, oh, we can't really do anything until this crossover happens. There's none of that. And again, I'm not trying to, like, pick on Supergirl. This is, like, so many TV shows across the board. And I think we are very clear. We wouldn't still be doing this podcast if we didn't love this show. And we wouldn't still be talking about it after we're not getting paid for it anymore.
Yeah,
if,
right.
Because I'm not still watching Arrow. Once they stopped paying me to watch Arrow, I was like, I am out. Once they stopped paying me to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I was like, no, thank you. But I want this show to be great because it's got a lot of good stuff going for it. And so, yeah, it's like it's not at all that we're like, I mean, obviously, like the actors that play Lena and Jimmy are both very attractive people who it's like, yeah, there's. Attractive people are attracted to each other. It's fine. So it's not like it's out of the question that these two would be attracted to each other. But like, just the way they've done it.
Yeah, and it wasn't that long ago that they were like really combative with each other.
Yeah.
My biggest,
there's just been so many things.
Yeah, my biggest thing is that this storyline with them, this like B or C story, depending on how you feel about it, or what you think about it. Because, like, I feel like it's right up there with the Mon-El, Kara, yeah. And his wife.
Well,
stuff.
I put the Mon-El story as a higher, you know, on the alphabet of plots simply because it relates directly to our title character.
But this whole story with Lena and Jimmy could have still been the exact same with them only working as, like, professional, like, co-workers or, you know, partners,
yeah,
and becoming friends. Not, yeah, like,
because where you do you
cut
go
out,
with this?
You cut out the part in the, on the party when they're like, when her like two or three women are like, oh yeah, you totally like Jimmy, don't you? This is totally a yeah. thing that we recognize. I'm like, wow, you guys are filling in like actual moments where the audience would feel this way and just telling us.
Oh, that's exactly.
But then like you
there
could,
was so
you
much cu- in this. There was so much in this episode, not just with this plot, but with stuff with Sam and Ruby. There was a ton of stuff in this episode that was told to us and not shown.
Yeah.
And that is always the sign of...
That was probably the biggest part was when, like, when Kara comes over and is like, oh, yeah, I've seen you two. And I was like, no, you haven't. You've seen yeah. zero. Because we have been with you. None of this has happened that you're saying. So if you cut that part out and you cut out the part... At the end, like, you could still have the part where they share a drink together, but just yeah. not have the part where they kiss. Because even then later, when they're both on the street looking at Supergirl, like, getting beaten up, it's like, wow, so that makeout session must have been cut, like, really short because they're already down on the street level. You could have cut out, like, those parts and nothing would have been lost from their story, like, from their plot. Nothing.
Also, speaking of that, how did you notice at the end of that, after she gets beat up, even though they were like going all over the place, somehow they landed right where Lena and Jimmy could come outside?
Like,
and,
here's the thing. I thought they were about to have sex. Like, that's oh. the, like, that was the kind of like, or at least like really have like not to be interrupted. Not like they, not to have their, like, they were down there with like their coats on. I don't know, like, just, I'm just like, oh, well, whatever they were doing up there apparently was not a very long process. Yeah, it ended very quickly because they're already on the street, which
well,
is,
I was just going to say, they're down
so
there.
Which is so rude of me to say, but, like, it just seems so weird.
Yeah, no, I get you. It's like, but they're down there, Morgan Edge is down there.
Yeah.
Alex is immediately there. And it's just like, this, I don't know. Sometimes this is the kind of thing where I just start like wanting to just like kind of throw my hands up and be like, yeah, okay, whatever. Which that's like, to me, the feeling of where it's like, all right, this show's a show's mediocrity has just kind of worn you down to where you're like, I don't even care anymore. The only reason I think it's like, if we didn't care, we wouldn't point out these kind of like nitpicky or questionable things.
Yeah, we care.
It's like, yeah, that's the thing. And it's like, because I think sometimes people think that when you complain about something, or when you, not even complain, just when you question something or you notice something, that they're like, oh, you're not being a real fan. Or they're like, oh, you just are being a hater or whatever. And it's like, no, if I didn't care, I wouldn't ask questions. My brain would just kind of turn off and it would just wash over me. You know, like, I don't know. I just wish that it was, people were a little more willing to think about things and not think that, I mean, this is kind of going into a completely different topic, which we don't have to get into, but it's kind of broader than just with this show. But it's like, you can have questions about things or criticize things, and it doesn't have to mean you hate it or that you think people that like it are dumb or that you hate them. Or it's like, you just go like, why doesn't this bother the people who are making it? What, or like, what, or if there, maybe there are explanations that they have and we just can't see. And it's like, sometimes you find out that stuff and it's like, oh, okay, that's like really enlightening. I'm glad I asked. And sometimes you go like, oh, they were ready to go home. You know, it just, it depends on what the thing is.
Yeah. My biggest thing is just, no, it's fine. No, but it goes back to like with their storyline. I can't imagine them being like a long-term end game sort of couple.
Exactly.
So I can almost already see like the end, just like I saw this coming. I can almost see the end of their, like, as soon as Lena sells off
Catco,
which I'm sure will happen at some point cuz they'll drop that storyline. Yeah. But like, or, you know, something else will happen. And it just seems so, it just,
she's going to have to go back to like running.
I mean, you said spinning wheels. It feels like them spinning wheels. And it, and again, I feel like this would have been such a stronger storyline if they had just had them like basically making a friendship and having and working together as like as two people that are trying to run this company more or less together.
Yeah,
and then like
exactly.
and then getting at the point at this point to be like, okay, I trust you as another person I'm working with. Let's go and do like all this business stuff.
You can build from them having a friendship.
Yeah. And like if maybe like towards the end of the season they get to the point where it's more romantic, then I would at least have appreciated them taking the time to build that up. And it doesn't feel like that was built up. It feels like it was hastily thrown together. And I just, that's what's frustrating, because I feel like both of these characters deserve better romances, period. But especially if they're going to be with each other, I just feel like it should have been handled better and written better. So
yeah, there's a big difference between
I'm disappointed as fans of both of these characters.
Yeah, there's a big difference between like telegraphing something and showing your work, like setting something up, like, and really showing your work and like putting in the time of going. And again, this is that thing where it's like it just, when these things feel lazy, where it's just like, yeah, throw them together, and over the course of two episodes we're going to throw them together basically. And so,
I mean, like, I get really stingy about it because, like, I have written stories where I've had to carefully and precisely, like, build those building blocks of a romance. And so when I see it done hastily, especially for characters you've already established, so it's not even like you're having the trouble of establishing characters while also having them fall for each other. So it just, like, when I see this done badly with characters that already know each other, it's kind of like, come on, you guys, you can do this better. Like, I know you can do this better.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's
it. Well, yeah, it's like, well, I mean, this is all just kind of backing up what you said, but it's like, you could really build to something if you are just, if you build from them having a friendship. If you work towards them having a friendship and then establish that through the stuff they go through, and then it turns into something romantic, it's like, that's a totally different thing. Whereas when you just immediately throw them together romantically, especially after they've just had sort of like a, or you, I mean, they, if they really wanted to act like they cared about these characters and like pretend like they were real people, you have them be very antagonistic towards each other for a while and then begrudgingly really earn each other's respect in their various interactions, and then build from that into a friendship, and then from that into something romantic. And by that point, people are like, oh my God, yes, I've been waiting for this for so long. Yeah. When you do it over just two episodes, it's like, why are you, this doesn't matter. Who cares? And it's also the kind of thing where we know, just like you said, it's like this, it's not, there's no way they're going to keep them together forever. Like, they're not going to be like the long-term couple. So that means it can only go one of two ways, you know, where it's like they're gonna break up and it'll be like an amicable kind of thing. Like, you know, most of the other breakups on this show seem to be, but then it's, you know, so then you kind of go like, well, then what was the point other than to give them something to do? Or then you have them hate each other. And then that really changes the dynamic of the show in a way I don't think they're going to do, because then it would really kind of put Kara in the middle of that,
yeah,
where it's like these two people are like two of her best friends and now they hate each other because they broke up. And it's like, she's, I mean, you could do a whole thing with that and it would be interesting, but it doesn't feel like this show. It doesn't feel like that's what they would do, to have them be like a weird, where they're both wanting her to take their side. And that, like, cause it would require too much time devoted to dealing with that. And then you lose time away from dealing with world killers and whatnot and time travel. And it's like, the show is like really trying to do, like, it's definitely, have you noticed since they moved to the CW, the show definitely seems sort of more focused on the, everything is still sort of wrapped up and couched in who's going to be dating who, but the overall stuff is definitely sort of more aimed, is more about the action stuff and like the big sci-fi superhero-y stuff. Whereas I felt like it was a little more trying to, maybe this is me misremembering it or sort of like rose colored glasses, but even though I want all the superhero stuff, I'm just, it seemed like on CBS, they worked maybe a little bit more having the people seem a little bit more like normal people maybe, where it's like a little more character based.
I mean, I don't know if it was the move to the CW or the fact that, like, immediately when they went to CW, they went into, like, Mon-El and Kara mode. So, I don't know. But I feel like it's also kind of a chicken and the egg sort of thing. Speaking of Mon-El.
I just felt like on CBS, it seemed a little bit less, it didn't feel exactly like, it didn't feel like all the other CW shows quite as much.
Yeah, well, I also,
it was kind of villain of the weeky, but it was, it felt a little different. Maybe it's just a difference in like the money and the shooting in California and having, well, it's like they had, you know, Calista Flockhart on there as like someone where we're like, we have like a star we have to pay attention to who's just a normal person, where it's like we have to have more reasons for her to be in scenes and things like that. So it's like more focused on, she was like way more worried about her job.
Yeah, I think the fact that like Jimmy is now basically her boss, or is her boss, kind of, it's not nearly as big of a worry because he knows she's Supergirl. So like there's less,
yeah, there's, so there's less, no concern tension
about
there.
Yeah, there's less like work life problems.
When was the last time they even showed her doing something with
like three, you know, episodes ago, job, something like that? Yeah. I mean, like, because they had the flashback where she took it like a week off, and then they had the crossover that apparently wasn't a problem for her to take time off. And then this one where she wasn't even there when Jimmy was doing his like meeting. So I don't know.
She said something about almost getting fired from her job at the DEO. And it's like, do you really have a job with the DEO? Like, I mean, I get that you're Supergirl and you hang around there a lot, but isn't your job technically, I'm sure they pay her or something, but it's not like that she's just going to up and get fired either. And it certainly doesn't seem like she, you know, it doesn't seem like she,
like, what are they going to do without so Supergirl? Yeah.
And speaking of that, where were all of the other superpowered people while she was getting her ass kicked? Like, where was John during that? Where, like,
Yeah, yeah. Anybody. Honestly, like when she gets like dropped off the roof, I really expected John to sweep in and catch her.
To catch her, yeah. Or Superman, for crying out loud. This is like another Kryptonian thing. Like, oh my God.
Like the fact that he didn't hear on the news that Supergirl is having a fight with another Kryptonian. Yeah, that seems...
Well, you'd think as soon as Kryptonian glyphs start popping up all over the place in a major city where he knows his cousin lives. And I know that's like, she can handle her. He trusts her to take care of her stuff. But it's like, hey, we're the only two of these people left. Like, this seems like a big deal to both of us.
Yeah. And I mean, and this is a problem of us also knowing that they were not going to get, like, the guest actor on for this.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they were the one that wrote into this corner. Like,
yeah,
they didn't
just put a line in there. Put one line in there that explains why he's not there. And I'll go, okay, you explained it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's lame, but we know you're at least, you know, it's lame to go like, oh, he's on another planet. Yeah, he's in space. Like, it's lame to do that, but it at least says we are paying attention. We understand that this is a world with super, we say it in the credits every week that he's here as Superman. So it's like, it's not like, oh, it's just this, you know, it makes you want to pull your hair out.
I know. So what do you want? I feel like we've talked a lot about.
Well, I think it was really, here's the thing. I think that it was really important for us to say
our
why.
Piece. Yeah.
Well, just like, it's one thing to just complain about like, oh, I don't want Jimmy and Lena getting together. Like, and to be like really adamantly against it. But I think it's important for us to like explain, because I'm sure there are some people who feel that way for
like crappy
bad
reasons.
Yeah.
And goodness knows. Yeah, it is very much because like we like these characters and we want them to have stronger written arcs. And yeah, like there was a way this could have been done better.
Yeah, totally. And you could make a whole thing out of this. And they're not really making a thing out of it. It's just like a throwaway thing to have something to do. It's just like when Wynn needed to have a girlfriend for a few episodes that he was like so in love with. And now she's just disappeared. And it's like, yeah, you're just given... You needed this for plot convenience sake.
I mean, they even go to that bar that like they would always hang out with. And I'm like, so she's just not here. She's not here. She's never mentioned like... What happened to the, like, and Kara's
She's
holiday
not at the Christmas party.
Nothing. She just doesn't exist anymore. Which, I mean, like, even that, like, a line drop would be at least something. Like, give us something to, like, So I do want to talk about Mon-El.
Okay.
Because this was actually one of, I'm actually surprised at how much I didn't dislike this.
So this is interesting because I think we're going to be in a bit of a role reversal here, but
I will say this,
but maybe not for the reason you think. So go ahead.
Yeah, maybe not. So this is one thing I will say. I don't like what they've already set up with this. Like, this is, it's a frustrating thing where like you have this kind of impossible situation where Kara just had to deal with this, all this stuff. And then like two episodes ago, she sees him again and he is alive, but he's with someone else for like very reasonable reasons. Like that no one else, it's like when she was explaining this to Barry, and even he is surprised that he has never had to deal with this, 'cause he's had to deal with all the weird superhero nonsense. So what I liked about this, I think the thing that worked for me with this is that, they did not vilify, the wife. The wife is actually, it's actually Irma Ardeen is the character's name, who, if you read the comics, is Saturn Girl. I really appreciate the fact that, first of all, she is such a fan of Supergirl. She says, like, you have no idea. I mean, I heard all your stories. You were the one who inspired me to fight back and to protect people and be a hero. I'm just so honored to meet you. And later she tries to just say, like, I know, like, I'm not blind to what, I know what your relationship with him was, and I can't, I can completely empathize, and I can...
Her superpowers, which, I mean, they haven't really gotten into any of that in the show, so maybe she doesn't even have powers in this. But it's like, you know, she has, like, telepathy-based superpowers. So it's
she
like,
really knows.
The hate wave, the, you know, like, unhappiness waves radiating off of Supergirl must just be... You know,
like major, like yeah,
flashing red signs to her,
yeah.
And
so, I could appreciate the fact that then later on, Kara, like Mon-El says, like, hey, she didn't mean to make you upset, and she's like, well, yeah, I get it because she seems really nice and she seems like a great person, and also she's gorgeous, and I can't be mad at her about that because she's so nice. And Kara says something along the lines of, like, we are three people in an impossible, awful situation that is not our fault. But at least you two have each other. I don't have anyone right now, and it's frustrating. And I just appreciate the fact that that they do a really good job of setting up everything up as, like, this is no one's fault. And they don't villainize Arlene or Irma.
It's actually Imra.
Imra?
It's one of those things where you think it's like because Irma is a name we're familiar
with. Right, yeah.
But it's the future, so things are a little weird. And her name is Imra.
Imra, of course. I really like the fact that they do they are very specific about going, this is a weird sci-fi time travel thing, and it's it's no one's fault. But Kara is the one that has to kind of deal with the fallout because the two of them have had more time together. Like, they're together. And she's trying to deal with that while still not being a complete jerk. And for to Mon-El's credit, when Kara, who's trying to be a good person, offers them to come to the holiday party, he has the good sense to at least, like, politely decline because he realizes it's probably really like raw for her.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see where they're going with this. I'm a little worried that like something stupid's going to happen, but I can at least appreciate in this episode the fact that they're setting up the characters very carefully and they're making sure that these, you know, there's this like awkward forced love triangle. Like, force for the characters in terms of, like, weird time travel stuff. And no one is being made the bad guy in it. And I can appreciate that. So that's where I'm... Wherever they go forward, I might change my mind on this plot line. But I can at least appreciate in this episode them saying the terms of, like, everyone in this is trying to do the best they can. So that's where I'm at with it. What did you not like about it, Chris?
Well, so the thing to me was like, and I'm totally in agreement with all of the stuff you were talking about, but I felt like it was a little bit of this thing where, and this is more of like a failing on maybe the writing and directing and the actor more so than like the characters, where I dislike the character, which is, I feel like, normally what your problem with Mon-El is, even though what you have previously disliked about his character is the result of the writing. But it was like, he has been through so much stuff to the point where they're saying that he was in the future for a long time, and so much so that he founded the Legion, and it was nice that they did sneak in
the Legion of
Superheroes.
Yeah. Where Wynn was the one who brought it up. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Chris is going to be so happy about that part.
Yes, absolutely. But he's still like a little bit just too much like the way he was when he left. He does not seem different enough. And I feel like being suddenly thrown, maybe he's just really good at kind of being chill about stuff. But I just would kind of like to see him be a little more, maybe like a little bit more grown up and serious and sort of like wearied by what all he has been through, because he's gone from like being suddenly thrown from his planet to this other planet, having to try to figure all that out. And all in the course of like what for them must be maybe roughly a year. I don't know. You know, where he's thrown and then
Wait, you mean Mon-El or?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, he said it was like 6 years.
No. I know he was in the future for 7 years.
Oh.
I'm saying like he got thrown from Where is he from? Daxam?
Yeah.
No, is it Daxam? He's a Daxamite.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Right.
And Daxam is Krypton's sister planet or something. So, but, you know, he went from being royalty there to then getting thrown to Earth, and he's kind of like a douchebag. And then he learned from Supergirl. And then all of a sudden they get like, oh, his parents show up and they're wanting him to do this. And they like nearly kill everybody. And his mom kills his dad. And then he gets has to leave the planet and then suddenly gets thrown into the future. But it's like all from him getting to Earth to getting thrown into the future was not that long a period of time. And then he was not on Earth that long. But so he's gone through all this traumatic, like complete life upheaval changes, one right after the other kind of. And then all of it, when we were kind of seeing it week to week, you go, okay, he's kind of dealing with it, and he's just kind of a bro dummy, because that's kind of how they wrote him. But it's like, I just wanted to see him come back and after really finding sort of what his place, what his real purpose in life was supposed to be, where it's like he gets sent to the future, and then he's forced to become a leader and, you know, take all these things that he learned from Kara and really put them into play in the future and found the Legion of Superheroes and really become this like leader who's, it's like in that first episode where he came back and they're showing like how he's so worried about his team and all these other people. It's really, it gave you this sort of like launching point to show like, oh, he's really grown and changed as a person. Being stuck in the future for 7 years and having to deal with all this stuff has really forced him to grow up and become like more of a hero. And he's still just kind of acting like how he acts. Does that make sense? Am I being too hard on him or not on him, but on the show? To me, it's like, it feels like I get that he's happy because he's got this wife and he founded the Legion of Superheroes and stuff's good, but it's like, it also seems like he should be like a little bit more, just a little more, serious and grown up kind of.
I feel like I see it in him, but also part of that is because his character was so bro-y in the first season he was in, so it's not like that hard to make him slightly more serious anyway.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I could maybe see what you mean. Like, it could be yeah, maybe.
I just think about, you know, maybe. Like...
It didn't bother me as much as it bothers you.
But yeah. I mean, and it's not like a deal breaker or anything, but it's like, you know how I'm sort of like... I guess I'm sort of wanting to him to seem a little bit more like... Especially since they said they came back and they're like, they know about what all's going to happen. And they're like here to help them do something. Which they didn't really mention any of that this episode, but it was what they mentioned that other episode. Where it's like... It seems like he should be a little bit more like Kyle Reese when he gets sent back in Terminator. And he's just like, this is what's going on. We don't have time to goof around. Like, this is really important. I have to, you know, unless they're just dropping that idea from that other episode where they were like,
I think they might be.
Because if they like, are, I'm like, oh my God, really? Because like it, which even more makes me feel like they don't know what they're doing from week to week. They're just kind of like, flying by the seat of their pants and going like...
Ugh. When Mon-El was saying that to Wynn, could he have been just referring, like, about people will die, or... I feel like maybe they said... I could be pulling this out from nowhere, but could he have just been talking about his crew?
No, like, he said something about, like I feel like I... Hey,
the
maybe...
The future's at stake? Maybe because, like, he has to go back to the... Why did they go back to the past again?
They accidentally got stuck in the past, and they were like 13,000 years ago. And
so they were trying to get back to their time.
Well, yeah, but they didn't have any way to do it because they just they bounced off a wormhole and got not thrown back in time. They were not trying to go back in time. It was not part of their plan, and the only thing they could come up with, cuz their ship crashed and it was like too damaged, and there's nothing they could use to fix it 13,000 years ago. Was then they were like, all we can do is put ourselves into cryo sleep until, and their plan was not even to come out now, it was to come out in the 31st century.
Yeah,
and it's like,
and then that didn't work.
The missile woke them up, or damaged the ship even more, woke them up. And
so, the other thing I could think of, if it's like the future is in danger, however he phrased it,
he said something specifically about they had to help Kara with this thing that was about to happen. And the only reason that sticks out in my mind was because you said something about thinking that, because this was before the crossover, and you were saying that maybe he was talking about what's about to happen in the crossover. And I was like, I don't think that's what it's going to be, because I think that he's, I was like, just, I don't think he's, they're even going to use him in the crossover. Also, remember how he used to be, like, was trying to be a superhero, and now he's founded the Legion of Superheroes, but he's not doing anything super. He doesn't have a costume or anything. Saturn Girl doesn't have a costume.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, oh, and also, just for fun, remember how his costume used to be just, like, a pair of sunglasses that were, like, visor-style,
I don't even remember that.
They had him wearing, like, safety goggles for, like, an episode or two. It's like, that's his superhero costume, along with his just, like, windbreaker. Anyway, very Smallville.
Yeah, very Smallville. Yeah, so I'm, like a lot of things in this episode, like, basically, like, everything in this episode, it felt like this was something, it was okay, but I'm also kind of bracing for where they're going to go from here, because this felt like every single plot point in this episode, you know, especially the A plot, felt like it was the first part of something, or like one part of something that's going to be much larger that they could so screw up later, depending on what they have planned.
Yeah. It's exhausting.
Because, like, here's the thing.
worrying about how wrong these things could go. And especially like when you've been hoping for the best and hoping for the best and seeing some things go right, seeing some things falter and seeing some things just completely fall off.
Seeing things start to build up and you're like, oh no, that's not where they're going.
Yeah,
is it?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. That's always a fun time in our world of podcasting. It's going to be a trip next year, I'm sure. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that's like largely really good about this episode.
We haven't talked at all really about like the rain stuff, which we saw the return of, got to see another, return of, not only a return of, new, season 3 mom, but also season 3 mom as the hologram that they had abandoned her talking to from the old episodes.
Yeah.
And then we also had the return, which I think we both predicted we would see him again, the preacher that knows more about Krypton than the person from Krypton.
Kara, yeah.
Well, not just Kara, but also when her mom says that thing, which is a line sort of like straight from Superman the movie, when her mom, computer mom, says, you know, I am like the collected, like, data of the 28 known galaxies, you know, and it's like, if I don't have a translation for this, one may not exist. But somehow this guy, and he even says he spent 2 years trying to find out more about Rao and Kryptonians and stuff. And it's like, okay, so that somehow in that he's learned more than this supercomputer AI thing that has the entire collected information of all of Krypton, plus all the other stuff that they, the advanced race of Kryptonians, knew about. But somehow this one preacher guy that spent a mere 2 years, you know, I spent a year watching Mortal Kombat Annihilation, and I don't think that I know more about it than the people that worked on it, you know? I don't think that somehow I am a master of that movie.
I'm sorry. I hope my laughter isn't like blotting out everything you're saying. It's just I appreciate the commitment to plugging your finding ways to plug your own work.
It's the closest example to me. I've had my dog for basically his entire life, which is, he's like 5 years old now. And I do not feel like I'm any closer to understanding why he acts the way he does. And I'm like with him every day, and that's 5 years, not 2 years, you know? And it's like, I'm spending quality time with this dog every day. I've seen him grow and change and stay the same in some ways. But I'm just like, why are you like this? And I've talked to people who vets and like dog people, and it's like, yeah, some, but I would not make me, I don't know more about it than, I don't know, some kind of dog expert. It's just, I was trying to think of like the quickest explanation was the Mortal Kombat thing, but it's just, it's like, I get that they want to have that guy back for some reason, you know, like for one scene, but it's just ludicrous to me that somehow just don't have the scene with his mom. I mean, with her mom, or don't have him, have the mom explain it, you know, one way or the other. Like,
I'm interested. I think there was something with the mom where she said that like certain old things have been expunged from the record or something, which is an interesting idea, like that they were trying to hide from their own history.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, something about that is kind of an interesting take, but it is a little convenient that like this preacher just happens to find the one priestess that studied old religion.
Or just have
Rain
explain it to her. Like, have Kara have some kind of interaction where she has some kind of vision from the people that like gave Rain, you know, when Rain goes to her fortress of.
Yeah, there are like a thousand ways.
Yeah, just having this. My problem is not with, you know. Yeah, you're absolutely right. The idea of having it be like something that's like pulled out of their, you know, has like disappeared from their collected knowledge is totally. It's fine. It's a little bit Attack of the Clones, but it's fine. But then you have someone that has a reason to know it that is not someone that's just from Earth and spent 2 years becoming a preacher on a thing like. There's so many other ways you could have done it that would be like, okay, I buy this. And again, it just feels like one of those things where you're like, well, we got this guy. Let's have him come back.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say, like, his scene, the way it was performed, was very unnerving. There's some creepiness to it that I actually appreciated, even if, like, the whole concept of it is a little,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
A little off. But I like the way he performed it. I liked, Kara's reaction to this, because she seems really unnerved by all of this.
I just didn't like how similar a bunch of it sounds to like Christian mythology, like Christian, you know, like Christian,
yeah,
doctrine. I'm trying to think,
yeah,
of like the right way to say that doesn't say,
no,
yeah,
Revelation.
Like the way that's
like,
not
it sounded,
yeah,
exactly,
and
like
it's just like that's
like
really
Revelations
lazy to me, like to have it be like,
yeah, I
so
mean,
the
I,
same thing,
it doesn't really fit, yeah, it doesn't really fit with a lot of the Kryptonian, the vague Kryptonian
what they have led us to understand about it, that it would be so like copied from,
yeah,
the Bible. Like, I get that if you're going, like, you're trying to make it something that's like, all right, everybody can kind of get what you're doing here. Like it, but
this is like when they really push the like Jesus allegory on,
yeah,
on the super family, it's always kind of like,
I'm just not
okay
into it. It's not, I'm not into it,
yeah,
at all. I mean, I get it,
yeah,
but it's also like, well, and also because I feel like, you know, originally, I mean, and I could be completely misremembering this. It's pretty late, but I feel like there's, you know, that Superman is, you know, from his creators was more of like a Moses allegory than a Jesus allegory, because it's,
yeah,
like, you know, putting the baby in the basket and sending him down the river and hoping for the best. And then he grows up to lead people by being and fight against injustice, you know, and to be like an example, but it's like that he's sort of like a normal person who has the ability to do extra ordinary things. I think extraordinary is what I was trying to say.
it's fine.
Well, because normally if you say it like that, you say he's an ordinary person who can do extraordinary things. But I said normal first, and then I started to say extra normal. I was like, my brain was like, no, that's not how you say that. so. All right, folks, unfortunately, right there is where we have to stop because there were some unfortunate technical difficulties. Something I'm trying to take care of. There's still like a whole bunch of stuff we talked about that we'll get to as soon as we can. This episode is way late, and that's all my fault, as is always basically the case. Katie is pretty much shows up and does what she's supposed to do. And then anytime something's late, it's usually my fault. But this time it's for both some good stuff and some bad stuff. Part of it being there's this technical problem that I have no idea how I'm going to fix. And then the other part is some good news stuff that I don't know if I need to get into here. Maybe I'll get into it later, something, whatever. But this part, I just wanted to go ahead, since the technical difficulties basically start right after this part, I wanted to go ahead and at least get this much out so that you guys don't think we've just completely given up on doing the show or forgotten about you. Thank you so much for listening. Check out all of our links and stuff in the show notes. And as soon as I can get the second half of this episode worked out, it will be up just as soon as possible. Thank you guys so much. We appreciate it. We love you guys for listening. We'll see you next time for more Supergirl Gab.
Musical person. I love musicals. I actually like the stage version of that musical, but I don't understand how you could possibly have a sequel to Mamma Mia. The movie and also the stage production is all about the past of this mother and her daughter trying to figure out who her father is. They have an entire musical number. They go step by step with learning about her mother's love life around the time that she got pregnant. Like, and apparently this new movie is going to be a sequel to that. But where it's all about her, it's still a prequel. Like, basically it's happening now, but they're going to do like all these flashbacks to when the mother was about to become a mother. I'm like, you already did this. It was called Mamma Mia. This just happened. So I need to get that out of my system because this is ridiculous. And I saw people making jokes about Mamma Mia sequels and comparing them to the naming of Fast and the Furious movies. And I thought that was the joke. I didn't realize that it was based in a reality.
That it was for real. Yeah.
That it was for real. Like, this is, anyway, I needed to get that off my mind before we jumped into the show.